Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that we're here gathered in that oneness that's in you. And we're here with one voice saying, have your way. Truly have your way. And Lord, help us to magnify you fully. Help us to receive everything that you've already prepared for us to have. Lord, thank you that we're beginning truly to just settle down and dwell together. And dwell together in this love that is so immense and so true and also powerful. And thank you, God, for your vessels that your grace is allowing to change from glory to glory. And here we are today again. Lord, you've called us. And just like little Samuel said, here am I. Well, here we are, and you're going to do it. We thank you, Lord, for your purpose, your power, how you pursue us. And Lord, again, just for this incredible love, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles today. We're going to Matthew, and we'll begin there in chapter 1. And the Lord's laid upon our hearts today to gather back there in the spirit at that nativity scene. And God's specifically going to have us explore one of the least spoken of the ones at that nativity scene. And that's the natural father of Jesus, Joseph. And we find Joseph introduced to us here in chapter 1. And it's not an easy way. Matter of fact, he's in a very great hardship as the truth is really revealed to him and through him. A great hardship. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's how the truth comes sometimes, doesn't it? We have to get pressed out of measure. And God then has us in a spot, in a predicament that, I'll tell you what, we can only do one thing, and that's receive of him. And we find Joseph here in verse 18 of chapter 1 of Matthew. In that perfect place for God to do the work. Now it says there, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Wow. Now that's quite a happening. That's quite an encouragement. So I read this, and the Lord touches my heart. Joseph loved Mary. He loved this woman. He sure did. And the reason we know he loved her is he was contemplating these things. He was thinking about these things. And it says here that he was afraid because the angel of the Lord told him to fear not. And what he was afraid of, I sincerely believe this, he was afraid, what will be thought if I continue to be her husband? That's what he was thinking. I don't need to superimpose that. That's why he's contemplating this. If he was just all upset and mad, It would have been over a long time ago, and he wouldn't have cared about anything. But he's contemplating these things. He's torn. He loves her, yet he knows that that child is not his, but God. See, we got a but God in here. And I'll tell you, when you got a but God in here, in spite of this situation, in spite of all of the embarrassment, God is going to bring something much more. And he sure did, didn't he? Oh, yes, he did. And he says unto him, fear not, Joseph, take your wife. Take her now. Come on. And what does Joseph do? And I love this about this brother. He got up from that dream and he immediately takes her. Praise God, doesn't he? See, that's a glorious thing. And that's how we can believe the Lord. He said it. He said it. And this is how the word of the Lord was spoken to Joseph. Joseph couldn't go read Matthew because it wasn't written yet. This is the word of the Lord that came to Joseph. And what did he do? I believe it. And waking up out of that bed, I'm sure all of his friends, you're a nut. It doesn't happen that way. Joseph, if that's how you feel about her, just marry her, whatever. But that wasn't even how it was in that day. Oh, no. As a matter of fact, Joseph was already married to her. He was betrothed. That was his wife. They'd just say, stay with her, if that's what you want, but get out of here. But see, Joseph knew the word of God. And he did, because the Lord opened his heart to hear the word of God. And you're hearing the word of God, because here is the word of God in this precious word. And the Lord, I'll tell you what, just pray in Jesus' name, he'll open your heart to hear it. And it comes the same way. And I want to be like Joseph. I want the impossible that faces me, and not just the impossible that faces me. This is the impossibility of the word of God. This is the impossibility, praise God, of that the Lord wants you to be his readied wife. The Lord wants you to be his bride. That's even beyond in craziness of the Holy Ghost putting the seed in this woman that's a virgin. Let's be honest. Which one's more crazy? Which one's harder to do? To God, none of it. And that's not crazy. It's not hard to do. It's the promises of God, which are yea and amen. And isn't it beautiful? He didn't have somebody else, you know, whatever the names were that were his friends, whether it was Harry or, you know, we'll go through all of them. It was Joseph. Joseph was the guy, because God once again knew. He foreknew the heart, and he predestinated Joseph, you're my guy. You're going to hear this, Joseph. This is something you're going to hear, and you're going to respond to, because I foreknow your heart. That's this word, brothers and sisters. This is the bridal message to you. This is the impossibility of the word of God that was spoken to Joseph, which is the same impossibility, and you understand what I'm saying. With God, all things are possible. With God, his promises are yea and amen. This wasn't a maybe and if that was going to happen. He knew Joseph would take it and go. He'll accomplish it in the thing he sends it to. It's kind of a repetitive thing with God, isn't it? Because he's God. He knows what he's doing. He knows exactly who he's dealing with. He got the exact disciples. Abraham was his guy in the idol shop. It was going to be Rebecca at the well. It wasn't going to be Sally or Jane or anybody else. It was her. It's you. This is why you hear this message. This is how specific and exact it is. This is why we sit here and hear this over and over each Sunday and Wednesday and Friday. And then there's this growth, and praise God, we want to go and even get it for ourselves as well too. There you go. But we thank the Lord that Joseph, he took it, and it's Joseph who names the Lamb of God Jesus. How's that one? I mean, come on! He comes to him and says, you're going to name him Jesus. And you know what? His name's Jesus. Because the Bible tells you so. It's great. Now, going a little bit further, I want you to think about this. Here's Joseph. Now, The word tells us here during that time of the birth, it was Joseph, it was Mary, and there were some shepherds that were there, all right? And but that was it. Doesn't say about anything else. They try to write into stories and all of this. No, let's go with the word of God, okay? Now, it was an absolute disgrace. It was, the man could not be present ever at the birth of a child during that time. That woman would go alone, they would, you know, with ever whoever her helper was and all of that kind of thing. But again, we're not dealing with just any birth, are we? We're dealing with the lowest of births, because the Bible tells you so, that this is the most lowly birth there's ever been. So I'm going to tell you, if it's as lowly is going to be, I'm sure lowly Joseph is in there helping his wife. So Joseph gets to name Jesus, Jesus. And then Joseph, I'm confident in heart, he's the first one to ever see Jesus, that child, and hold him. His stepdad, his natural father. He's holding him. He's caring for him. This is immense what's going on. And then Joseph is who God would deal with and tell how to protect his family. What you're going to do to protect Mary and to protect my son Jesus. I'm going to deal with you. Here, turn on over to chapter 2 and read from verse 13. All right? So Jesus is born, he's little tiny. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Sometimes you wonder why you're in Denver. We call this Babylon. And you're going to sit there until I call my son. Come on. Where are we? Praise the Lord. So this is working here, and we thank God that this encouragement to him. Now, go on over to verse 19. Here we go again. So God is dealing with Joseph in how to manage and handle and keep safe the family. This the blessing that continues to come to this life. Amen? But when Herod was dead, beheld, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead, which sought the young child's life. And he arose, and he took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Once again, that's our life, is it not? And I thank God, and how many times I've heard this. I had people that I stood right next to my mother when mother would tell them about the Lord and tell them about the deeper things of God. Oh, you're just a dreamer. How did he get the word? It's a dream. This word is like a dream. The most wonderful dream there could ever be. But the word of God, that dream is real. It's alive. It's effectual. And it works in them that believe. And you just thank the Lord. And it'll take you where you need to go. It'll put you in the place where you need to be. With who? With Jesus. Joseph was here, there, here, and there with the word of God. And who was always with him? Jesus. That's you. And it's just trusting the word of God. And the word tells you, and we're going to be in these places. We're going to be in all of these different things. And it is. It's a life where, you know, God, he hides us away. He protects us, doesn't he? Sometimes he lifts up the hedge. Okay, I'm going to show off my glory in my vessel. And we're saying, oh, Lord, please, you know. But he does that. But it's a life of him showing how faithful he is. He doesn't put you in a hot house. He puts you in a hot furnace. And he brings you here and he brings you there. And what's the purpose? To fulfill the word of God. See, that's the purpose. That's the purpose of your life, is the Lord in his grace to fulfill his purpose. As a matter of fact, what he calls it for us is the good pleasure of his will. See, we're talking even another ramping up of purpose. Now we're to ecstasy, because he's talking about his wife. He's talking about his bride. He's talking about that when he speaks to us. So our journey, praise God, is the most intimate there's ever been. It's incredible. All right, let's stay with this. This gets exciting. Now, so we see how powerful the word of God worked in Joseph to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen? And would manifest the word of God perfectly through him. And then later on in scripture as well too with Joseph, which is very sweet, when Jesus is an adult and he's going on and meeting different ones, and they're surprised by how brilliant he is or how he can do these miracles, and they say, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph? Keep referring to that stepdad. That kind of an adoption, if you would. Now, but here's probably, I think, the best of all. The prophets, when they spoke of the child that was coming, the Savior that would be born, they always spoke that it would come through the line of King David. All right? You know your Bibles in that? Jesus was going to come through the line of David. He was going to be from the tribe of Judah, which David was of the tribe of Judah, and it was always going to come down through that line. That's why that line went from David to Solomon and on and on and on. No matter, and we're in those king studies right now. They were all from the line of David in that wonderful, those kings of Judah. They were. And it was coming down through that line that Jesus would be born, all right? Whether those kings were wicked, and man, they were as wicked could be, as we saw. But the Lord was always faithful to his promise. The word of God will never change. He said, I'm going to be gracious to whom I'm going to be gracious. I'm going to have mercy upon whom I'm going to have mercy. And David in that line is my man, because I made him a man after my own heart. And Jesus is going to come through that line. All right? So this is beautiful. Now, turn on over to the very beginning of Matthew chapter 1. And let's read here. Because the word of God, what it does setting out the New Testament, the very first thing that's done is it shows the genealogy, okay, all the way back, not just to David, but to Abraham, of how that line came down, praise God, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we're going to start out reading here, verse 1 of chapter 1, Matthew. It says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Then it goes on to say, and Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and the brethren. And it goes on and on. Jump down to verse 6. We'll kind of do this a little quickly. It says, and Jesse begat David, the king of David, the king of, David, And Jesse begat David, and the king, and David the king begat Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Okay, now we keep coming down, and let's go on back over to verse 16. It says, and Jacob, now we're getting right down to the very end of it here, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. Now, wait a second. How could that be the line of Jesus? Joseph is his stepdad. Joseph does not have any bloodline with Jesus. Shouldn't that have said, you'd think it'd say Mary, but it says Joseph, all right? Now, in the Word of God, there are many scriptures that let us know that Mary, yes, from the line of David, the tribe of Judah. But why? And even if you go over to Luke, it does the same thing. It brings the lineage all the way down, and it emphasizes Joseph, and Joseph is Jesus' stepdad. Now, why is that? Well, I'll tell you what. It's to emphasize to us, it's not our natural birth, it is our spiritual birth. Oh, yes, it is. It's to emphasize to us that the glory of adoption, the glory of adoption. Now, I want to talk about the glory of adoption, and we have to go to Ephesians 1 for that. Now, this is our glory of adoption. And the Lord demonstrated this in having this wonderful adopted dad named Joseph. All right? So, in Ephesians chapter 1, let's read from verse 5. Now, this is us. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through the blood, in whom we have the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained. Whoa, look at that now. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we shall be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Amen. 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 Now, this is all because, brothers and sisters, he predestinated us unto the adoption of children. That's how we started out in verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. That means he predetermined you, unto it, the adoption of children, before time, before creation, before anything. He predestinated you to the adoption of children. So you can see how the word of God said, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ born before the foundation. It was all before the foundation of the world because it's the word of God. So I thank the Lord that we're right there too in Christ. That we're predestinated. Predetermined. The word made manifest. Praise God. Unto the adoption of children. Now, oh my, the adoption of children. This is so sweet. It's from two words, the adoption of children in the Greek. They come together, all right? It's so pretty. It says, the first one is theame, theame. That means to make for oneself. So the adoption of children, to make for oneself, to bring that in, and you got to know what the next one is. Amen. Brought us in, the adoption of children. He brought us in as the mature sons of God. Now let's go. He predestinated us to make for himself a mature son. The adoption of children. Now, just stay with this as we kind of wind this down. Brothers and sisters, our adoption as mature sons. Now, we know that We've just read about our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what he took on for us, and what his adopted dad and that adopted son and all of the things that were made manifest just in that life. Very God of very God, but made very man of very man. To bring into us that wonderful, perfect life that would bring him to the fullness, I'm ready to be offered. And all through a sense, if you will, what he took on for me, what he was, if you will, stay with me on this. He was adopted by a natural father to take on for me, to give me the adoption of the heavenly father that I could become with him. So we have that. But how beautiful that we see that Jesus so sweetly is given to us through the adoption of mature sons. And notice, it's the adoption of mature sons. Because everything that follows here that we just read, you have to be a mature son to receive it. Amen? If I preach this, and I'll just tell you right now, if I preach this and I went into a church, and I'm talking about a church of believers, all right? But they had never heard this before. Now, I know what the Holy Ghost can do, but don't you get me wrong. But let's just say a church where people are just fed with milk. They wouldn't understand a thing I'm saying. It'd be so over, above, or whatever it is, it'd be like, sweet, I know God can still enlighten an eye. You know that. But let me tell you something. This is those, just like Joseph, predestinated as the mature sons of God. This is so glorious, brothers and sisters, because look what follows it. He predestinated us, that means to make for himself a mature son. He predestinated us, the adoption of a mature son, that made known to us the mystery of his will. Did you read that? Do you know that? Do you know the mystery of his will? Do you know the story? Do you know the proposal of the bride for the Lamb of God? Oh, yes, you do. So I guess he did predestinate you as the Huios son, praise God, to make known the mystery of his will. Amen? And then wait a second, it went on. It says our adoption is mature sons. It says we have obtained our inheritance. How do I know that? Because he told me, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I'm not a Christian by the grace of God that's holding a palm. I'm not a Christian by the grace of God that comes before him and says, salvation to my God. I'm a Christian by the grace of God that holds my crown and I say, thank you, my beloved husband, Jesus. That's the faith that he gave me. That's the predestination, praise God, that he made me. He brought to himself a mature son of God. Oh, yes. And then the best of it all, to the praise of his glory. All glory is going to praise that grace. All glory is going to praise that grace. Vessels of mercy. That's why he gave you all grace. That's why he gave us all grace, because glory is going to praise all grace. Now, that's the line of our adoption. We're talking about the full glory sonship line, brethren. And it's all because, and I pray, oh Jesus, till you come, let me see this in this light till you come. And God, give us a joy in this today, because this is so beautiful. Jesus was made one of us, and he was adopted by a natural father, so we would be adopted by the heavenly father. He took, you have to think about it, he took our place to give us his place. We've talked about that in many things. He took my place, praise God. He was made sin for me. Amen. Who knew no sin? I should be in the pit of hell, and yet, my oh my, I'm seated with him in the heavens in Christ. And our precious Lord, He gladly gave himself and submitted himself unto a natural adopted situation with a father, so that I'd be adopted as the mature son to my heavenly Father. What he gave up for us. But you know what? As he said, it was the joy that was set before me. Oh, I love him. Lord, show us the more. What do you think? Amen? I want to run, brethren. I want to win him. And I want you to win him. And Lord, don't let us ever stop. Lord, let us go into this word with wonder. Lord, let us come in here in Jesus' name today. Every life that's here, let it touch you. Let this word work effectually in you today. Don't let the glory pass you by. Get out of this life and get into that throne of God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you today. And Lord, just so grateful to you. Lord, how you care for us. And Lord, I thank you again today. You've walked us through more land. And I just thank you. And Lord, it's because you're faithful and true. Because you can't deny yourself. And Lord, here we are, your vessels of glory. Oh, the jewels of your crown. And I thank you, God, it's because you've told us that's what we are. How could we not encourage ourselves in the Lord? How could we not encourage one another? Be spiritual, God, edifying, cheering one another on. God, give us the heart of the Apostle Paul. Run, brother, run. Oh, hallelujah. Let us have the encouragement, God, that you gave the kings to lift our hands unto the Lord and praise him. Now, Jesus, thank you. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. And Lord, you've given us salvation with eternal glory. Let us walk in there. God, the fellowship of the cherubim over that mercy seat. Lord, let us look deeper and deeper into that blood and know the depths of the riches of your glory. We thank you, we praise you, and soon to give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.